I want to invite you to take and turn to the book of Jonah. Now, I've given you several weeks' notice that we were going to be studying Jonah, so I know that you've already practiced to try and find where that is in the Old Testament. It's on page 812, all right? See how that works for you. Jonah is a part of what is known in the Old Testament as part of the section known as the Minor Prophets. You have the Pentateuch, which is that means the Law. That's the first five books of the Bible. You have major prophets, you have wisdom literature, and you have minor prophets. That kind of breaks up our Old Testament books. And again, Jonah, as well as Nahum, is a part of the Old Testament that's known as the minor prophets. We'll begin today a series of messages. There's about seven messages that will take us through this study, understanding that the God in whom we serve is perfectly balanced when it comes to His mercy and His grace. God is not 50% merciful and 50% just. I should say justice. Just. He is fully just and He is fully merciful. And that's hard for us to understand, in how someone could be fully just as well as being fully merciful. There are times when I may lean more towards mercy than I do justice, and maybe other times I lean more towards justice than I do mercy. But I want you to know God has that perfect balance. Now, we just came out of a study looking at the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the purpose, or the purpose of that, is understanding and knowing who the Lord is. To know Him, and then to know Him is to trust Him. And the psalm writer says, those who know my name will trust me. Those who know the Lord will trust Him. And so I want you to know this morning, when we began this series out of Jonah and Nahum, the objective is the same. One of the things that the Lord is teaching me in my role as a spiritual leader among His people is that it is my role to help us grow in our knowledge and understanding of who He is. Because when we fully know and understand who He is, we will trust Him. It's when we fail to recognize who He is as Yahweh, the Sovereign Lord, when we fail to recognize that He is a God who is full of mercy, a God who is full of righteousness or justice, then we fail to follow Him. We fail to trust Him. And so when we study Jonah, and I know this morning that if you grew up in church, you know the story of Jonah. You know about the big fish. You know about his spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. You know about his being deposited on the beach and then reluctantly going and serving the Lord. But I want you to know that the objective in all this study together, both in Jonah and Nahum, is not to know more about Jonah and the stories of Jonah, nor to know more about Nahum and the stories of Nahum, which will both relate to Nineveh, but it's to know more about God and to know and understand in a greater way who He is. And so today we begin this series of messages beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it, speaking of the ship, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. They said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And so he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Then he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done this as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. To give you a little bit of background of what is taking place during the time in which Jonah is representing Yahweh, representing the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, there is a verse there. You see it on your screen. You see the fact that Israel is being restored. They'd gone through, as they had a history of success and defeats. They were coming out of defeat, and Israel was being restored. And Jonah had prophesied about that restoration. He had been given a word from the Lord, and it was a positive word for Israel. And now Israel found themselves at a time of prosperity where their enemies were smaller than them for the most part. Their economy was growing, their borders were being expanded, and it was an exciting time. And needless to say, in light of the fact that Jonah was the one who had brought this good news from the Lord, his popularity was on the rise. It was during that time that Jonah was ministering. There was one adversary that rivaled at this time Israel, and that was Assyria. And Assyria's capital was Nineveh. And so you can see what has taken place here. Jonah's prosperity, or Israel's prosperity, has grown, and with that, Jonah's popularity was at a peak because of the fact that God had spoken through him to bring such encouraging news. And it was during this time when the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, arise, go to your adversary. Go to the one that you are most unlikely to go to, because I want to show them mercy. Today we're going to look at the topic, running from the Lord. I want to ask you, do you know of anyone that's running today? Do you know of anyone that's running from the Lord? All of us know someone. I mean, if we step back and we think about it, all of us knows someone that's running from the Lord. But I want to ask you this question. Are you running from the Lord? You know, a lot of times it's easier for me to see and recognize when someone else is running from the Lord when I myself may be guilty of the same and not even recognize that. And so today we look at this story about Jonah and God's call on his life and his running from the things that God was calling him to do. The first thing I want us to look at, and you have your worship folder, you can follow along, is the call of the Lord to Jonah. Again, in verses 1 and 2, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Then you see a call of the Lord on the life of Jonah. He says, "Arise and go." Now, I want you to know, folks, that in light of this call, it is specific in terms of time, and it is specific in terms of place. Arise and go. That's not for you to sit and pray about. That's not in time for you to sit and schedule or prepare for. It is now. This was a command that God was giving His ambassador, His servant, Jonah, to go at once. And as it relates to place, it was to Nineveh. And just so happened, Nineveh was the arch rival of Israel. It was known for its violence. It was known for its terrible behavior, being malicious. It says in verse 2 that, "For their wickedness has come up before me." God is saying, look, their wickedness, they have become so wicked that it has come up before me. Now, all sins before God, right? What we can learn from this, folks, is that there are times why God is offended by all sin. That there are times when an individual or a people or a nation becomes so offensive to Him that He says, look, I am going to bring about correction. I am going to bring, and it's a merciful thing, I am going to bring about correction to what's going on here. You ever heard the expression, that stinks to high heaven? Yeah. Their wickedness is before me. That stinks to high heaven. And one of the things that we realize when we talk about God's mercy and we talk about God's justice is that when an individual or when a people, when a nation continues to digress in terms of morals, in terms of values, and one of the things, just as a side note, folks, we should never as a nation think that God is not offended by our sin. And at some point, it comes a place where God says enough. And that's what had taken place with Nineveh. Their sin had risen to the place where God was taking the initiative to call Jonah to go and be His ambassador. And to bring a message of repentance in the life of Nineveh. What has God called you to today? What call has the Lord placed on your life to be His spokesman or His ambassador? I want you to realize this morning, folks, God has called, if you have a relationship with Christ, He has called each of us into His service, into His ministry. It may look differently for you than it does for me, but the end result is that we are called to represent the things of God. We're called to represent the Word of God. We're called to represent the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jonah was doing in this time frame, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was afraid they would repent. You know, there's some times that we, just like Jonah, our perception is the fact, God, they don't deserve your mercy. God, they don't deserve your grace. Let me tell you something, that's more evident in the day and time in which we live today than ever before. When you think about the brutality of some in the culture in which we live today, in the world in which we live today, when there are those who will behead someone in the name of God, that is wicked. And yet God is calling and saying, go. And God may not place that specific call in your life, but I want you to know that we have those that may be within our circle of influence, and we look and see the way they live their lives, and maybe they've even offended us or done something against us. And the last person that I want to go and share the grace and the mercy of God with is that individual. They've wronged me, or they've wronged family, or wronged in the workplace. But folks, we need to realize that we are not the ones who determine our call. Our call is to arise and go. And here that call was arise and go, and again to go to a specific people. How did Jonah respond? You see in verse 3. Jonah arose immediately. Looks good, doesn't it? Yeah. He arose immediately in terms of time, but in terms of place, he went the opposite direction. He basically was to travel east 500 miles. God told him, he says, look, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's 500 miles east. He arose and he went 2,000 miles west. And the lesson we learned there, so oftentimes when God is at work in our life and God has given us a command, a specific call, we'll go to great lengths to avoid that, will we not? We'll go to great lengths to avoid the very thing that God has called us to do. What that looks like oftentimes is that, Lord, I'm inadequate. Or Lord, not today. Or if we want to be real spiritual, God, let me pray about that. The truth of the matter is that a lot of times the response that we give to that which God has called us to do, rather than pursuing that call, we run from that call and go to great lengths to avoid the Lord's call in our life. Again, it says in verse 3 that Jonah arose, fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now let me tell you what Jonah was not doing by running. He was not trying to hide from God. He knew better. He knew that he couldn't. I mean, if God told him to go 500 miles one direction and he went 2,000 the other direction, the further he could separate himself from the location that God called him to, then he would be out of the presence of God. He was not running because he thought he could hide from God. He was running because he was rebellious against God. One of the evidences of that you see in verse 9 when the mariners were asking him, who are you? He says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. He says he's over everything. And so his running, his fleeing was not to hide from God. His running was basically to say to Yahweh, I'm not doing what you asked me to do. It was an open display of his rebellion. I want to ask or share with you some thoughts. What are some signs that possibly I'm running today? That I'm running from the Lord? Again, if I'm here today and I name Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am to be salt and light. I am to be a witness for His goodness and His glory. What are some warning signs in my life that I am running from the Lord? First of all, we ignore the Word of God. Maybe in a time like this where God is drawing, God is calling you in an area of serving, and rather than being obedient, you begin to explain why it would not be appropriate for you to take that responsibility, and that is ignoring God's Word, God's call in our life. But probably a greater indicator is how that I live my life throughout the course of the week. Am I embracing the truth of God's Word, or am I ignoring the truth of God's Word? I stood with my son the other day when he took on the responsibility to be the spiritual leader of a home. And I shared with him two proverbs, and I'm going to share those with you today. The first one is, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end leads to destruction. And the other proverb is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. You've got two paths to take. You can take a path that seems right, or you can take a path that is right. And folks, so many of us in the life of the church today, we are living our lives what seems right. But I want you to know that the path that is right is not rooted in our emotion, our feeling. It's founded in truth, and truth is found in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And you have God's written Word and you have God's living Word, and the two will never contradict each other. You know, Jonah made this decision to run from God because it didn't seem right in his logic. These are our adversaries. I'm a popular guy now. Things are good at home. Now I'm going to go over here and seek to be an instrument in God's hands and the people that I hate. Didn't seem right. And so we ran. And we too, if we're not careful, can be running from God. And it begins by ignoring the Word of God. A second way is that, or second sign is that we harbor sin rather than dealing with sin. And I share with you through the years, Tammy and I enjoy the ministry of Dr. David Jeremiah, and he is now in a series on slaying the giants, and today was slaying the giant of guilt. In the sense, when we hide sin in our life and how that giant of guilt will overpower us, to render us ineffective. And reality of it is that God's Word will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from His Word. And so when I harbor sin in my life, Jonah had a hatred for Nineveh. And the last thing he wanted them to do was get right with God. And so we ignore the Word of God. We harbor sin. And then that leads to neglecting our responsibility to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And it all makes sense, because if I am in rebellion against God, then why would I seek to be a witness for the Lord? How did God respond? How did the Lord answer Jonah's response? Verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. And so the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Rise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And so the Lord's answer to Jonah's rebellion and his running was that He sent a great storm. Now I want you to know, this was no ordinary storm. First of all, they had seasons. You know, we've got a hurricane season. And so for the most part, during those seasons where the worst storms were, they would plan their travel around that calendar. And this was not the season when they would be the most likely to have a terrible storm. These mariners it was not their first trip. They had encountered rough seas before. They knew what rough seas looked like. But the description that is given here to describe this storm gives a description that it was unlike any other storm they'd ever witnessed, and it caused them to cry out to their gods because they were afraid for their life. The winds and the seas were attentive to the Lord. As the Lord commanded the winds and the seas to rise, the pagan mariners were attentive at least to some deity, and Jonah was asleep. What does that say? In his running, he had become so comfortable that even in the midst of God's answer, he was asleep. And with that, the mariners, as they cried out, they cast lots. And basically the finger was pointed at Jonah as being the cause of this storm. And so with that, we see in verse 12 what Jonah's answer was. Again, it says in verse 12, after they basically asked him what needed to be done, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. He said, look, the answer to your concerns is just throw me overboard. You know, again, an obvious answer would be, look, just turn the boat around and go back to the port. I'll get off. Everything will be okay. He didn't say that. He said, throw me overboard. You know what that was? That was a death wish. He wasn't going to survive. They knew he would not survive. In verse 13, they're the ones that decided to try and go back, and they weren't being successful. Just throw me overboard. And you see in verse 14, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. When they threw Jonah overboard, the seas quieted. But I want us to go back and try and understand Jonah's thinking right now. He's running from the Lord. He's sleeping when the pagans are praying. And now he'd rather die than obey the Lord. And then there's one other thing that I'm not even sure if Jonah was thinking about. The mariners were pagans. They had many gods. They had a god of the wind, a god of the sea. They had many gods. And some of the practice was that you offered human sacrifice to pagan gods. And when he said, throw me overboard, they knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. And whether he realized it or not, there is a possibility that he is guilty of teaching something that is false about his God, about Yahweh. And that is that Yahweh requires human sacrifice, just like some of the other pagan gods. And folks, here's what we need to realize is that as a follower, well, here's an oxymoron, isn't it? As a follower of Jesus Christ, when I am running from him, I am teaching something about him. We need to realize that we are constantly a witness. We're constantly teaching. And we teach in our words and we teach in our actions. And if our actions are inconsistent with the truth of God's Word, and to know the truth of God's Word, you can't ignore it. You've got to be in it. You've got to know it. But if I do what seems right, and the world looks and says, well, Travis is doing what seems right, it must be right, and if it's a lie, then I have been guilty of falsely teaching something about the Lord I serve. Does that make sense to you? It happens all the time. That's why we're so confused today. And how we go about living our lives, even as followers of Jesus Christ. He ran from the Lord. He was sleeping when others were praying. And he was so adamant to disobey God that he'd rather die than be obedient. And probably worst of all, he was risking being misunderstood and teaching something that was false about the God he served. And the last thing we see is the sailor's plea. Again in verse 14, when they had thrown Jonah overboard, they cried out to the Lord and they asked that basically the Lord would not hold them responsible for the death of Jonah. They say, "Oh Lord, you have done as it pleased you." They recognized Yahweh. They recognized His authority. Lord, it's according to your act on how you want to show mercy or if you want to bring judgment. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, threw him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now, whether or not they had a genuine experience with the Lord in terms of Yahweh, we don't know. It may have been, we don't know. They may have just added Yahweh to one more of their list of gods. But we do know that they realized that He was authority, the sovereign authority. And then verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Do you see it? God's mercy. That fish was not God's judgment. That fish was God's mercy. Because without that fish, Jonah would have died. He even wanted to die. But God in His mercy on Jonah sent a great fish to swallow him up and keep him from drowning. Because God not only wanted to show mercy to Jonah, He wanted to show mercy to these mariners. And He wanted to show mercy to Nineveh. And I don't know where you are in this journey called life today, but you are living in one of the most blessed times you could ever live. It's called the church age. And the church age is known for being a time of God's mercy and God's grace. But the end of God's time for the church will be a time for God's justice. And I want to remind you this morning that God's grace is giving to us what we do not deserve. His love, His forgiveness. God's mercy is withholding from me what I do deserve. Jonah deserved to drown that day. In his foolishness and running from God, he deserved to drown that day. But God in His mercy provided a way for him to live. God's mercy is withholding from me what I do deserve, separation. You know, when you read the word death, we always think about it in the physical sense. There's a meaning of it spiritually, and you need to always think of it in this way. Death is simply separation. And I deserve to be separated from a holy God, but in His mercy, He has provided grace and given me what I do not deserve. So I want to ask you this morning, are you running from the Lord? Some of you may be running like Nineveh, running to the things of the world and consumed with the things of the world. But rather than run from the Lord, I encourage you to run to the Lord, who is full of mercy and full of grace, who wants to restore your life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. But I know that the majority that I speak to this morning find yourself much like your pastor, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and every one of us at some point in time. And the question is that true today? Am I running from the Lord and His call upon my life? And my encouragement is that you not run from Him, but you run to Him. He is a merciful and gracious God. Let's pray together. Would you take just a moment to give a response to the Lord in light of how He has spoken to you, in light of how He has called out to you today? If you're here and you have never responded to God's call to a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you're running. And most of us are like Jonah. We know that we can't run out of His sight. Our running is just representative of our rebellion. I want to be the one in charge. So right where you're sitting, if God is drawing you to Himself, rather than run from Him, just turn to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I have sinned. I have offended You. I've done what seems right, and today I want to do what is right. And I'm turning to You and giving my life into Your care. Turning away from sin and selfish living and turning to a merciful and gracious God, giving place to Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into my life. That is a heart decision that God is drawing some of you here to this morning. If you're here and you have that relationship with Christ, if you're ignoring God's Word, if you have hidden sin in your life, even as His child, if you're not being that witness, that's a good indication, a good sign that you're running. God in His mercy and His grace is waiting for you just to simply to turn and run to Him. God can do the amazing, the immeasurably more in your life and my life when we surrender to Him. Would you take just a moment to pray and give response that's appropriate to how God has spoken? Father, we thank You. Lord, we can't fully understand it in our finite way of thinking, but we are so thankful that we serve a Lord who is merciful, full of mercy, full of grace. Lord, Your Word says that Your mercies are new every day and how we need that. And I pray each one of us will leave here today with an encouraging word, an encouraging heart, to pursue You even as You pursue each of us. And Father, may we not only be recipients of Your mercy and grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but may we be ambassadors, avenues through which that message is declared, even to the most unlikely of recipients according to our thoughts. God, may we be willing to be that voice to those that we believe that are beyond Your reach. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.